Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it, Tanner, is this your vote for sexiest song of all time?
Oh, I didn't realize we were doing that still today.
I don't know. Welcome back. Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. You heard this morning, Tim Wenger was talking electrification. You had Dominic Cortese on, among other guests. Well, I thought we'd get an update from Assemblyman Paul Bologna. Paul, good afternoon. Happy Friday.
Joe, it's great to be on with you. And sexiest song of all time might be Let's Stay Together by Al Green.
Oh, that's up there. That is a top
there.
Five. Yeah,
that has to be part of the conversation.
That's a good one. You know, I was thinking I was going to take my best one hit wonder of the 90s and sexiest song. I think it could be the same. Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry.
Oh, that's a classic. God, that brings back memories of fifth grade there.
Exactly. Fifth grade for me, it was fifth grade and also a summer camp at the Harlem Road Community Center. Song and I'm right back there. Hey, Paul, we heard so much this morning with Tim and Dominic about electrification. And, you know, a few days ago, I saw this article about moderate Democrats starting to try to persuade the governor to delay electrification. Paul, where are we in Albany in reality as we speak today?
Well, first off, I want to address the moderate Democrats' call on the governor. And again, sometimes you have to give credit where credit's due. And Bill Conrad, who is an assemblyman out in like the Tonawanda area, he is someone who's been on, I think, the right side of this issue. He goes into his conference and advocates for Western New York. So I want to make sure I give credit there because, a lot of times as Republicans, we talk about wanting Democrats to become more moderate. And then when they do, we come up with another excuse to bash them. So I want to make sure that we're giving credit where credit's due here. But, I think it's an indictment on where New York Democrats have kind of gotten to in New York State that it's taking a group of, quote, moderate Democrats. I mean, to me, this is just a common sense issue. So, I mean, I'm not sure what's that moderate about this. And, like, telling the governor that we need to at least delay this is like being in the back of an Uber and it's driving off a cliff and telling the driver to slow down. So, I mean, we're laying this at the feet of the governor. And we're 69 days away from this being implemented. And the governor needs to do something because at this point, she's the only one who can. Because, we go back into session after January. So for the next 69 days, I'm going to be railing on anyone I can to at the minimum, stop this until we can figure out what to do when we get back into Albany. Because this is untenable, it is unsustainable, and it is downright dangerous to the people to the Western New York specifically. And I still don't think the general public has a true grasp of what is actually happening in 69 days.
I think you're so right about that, Paul, because, I mean, every time we bring this up, I look at the text board, and it's another, I mean, and again, I think we've been more on top of this than any of the other local media, and someone texts in, wait, when's this happening? Oh my gosh, that's this upcoming new year. You look at the pause. I mean, you know, like you said, I think most people would like to see it just gone from the calendar forever. But, I mean, the pause does at least give time to work on completely eliminating it, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would like to see. And again, I mean, Congressman Langworthy has a bill at the federal level that would kind of help alleviate a lot of this where, you know, it really is an Energy Choice Act where it wouldn't let a municipality, you know, or a state ban any type of energy altogether, which I think is a great approach. I mean, if you want, you know, wind, you want solar, God bless. I mean, no one, at least that I have talked to, has been discouraging the implementation of new energy sources. I actually think that's great because it creates competition and it drives down energy prices. So the fallacy that we're somehow all anti-green energy is ridiculous. I mean, if a community wants to put, you know, solar fields or turbines in their community, God bless them. But to ban natural gas altogether is just irresponsible. And it's so arbitrary in the way it's been done. And again, your listeners need to know that even if your house is all electric already, and this isn't going to impact you, you know, at least from a logistics standpoint in your home, and you drive an EV car, God bless you. I mean, that is great. I love that for you. But what you need to understand is the electricity that you and to, you know, charge your car is going to go up because of this. You need to know that you're going to be paying higher rates because of this. And I said this last time I was on the air. It is blowing me away to see Democrats around Western New York and, you know, throughout the state bashing energy companies and bashing the higher rates when it's their policies that have caused this. I mean, I think I saw Tim Kennedy out there blasting Congressman Langworthy's bill. Tim Kennedy's one of the people that voted for this back when he was Senator Tim Kennedy. So, I mean, you can't have it both ways.
Paul, when you mentioned Assemblyman Bill Conrad, and he's been on with us, and he's told his concerns with this bill. When you look at what the article says, moderate Democrats. I mean, how many are we talking about? And could there be a joint letter between the Republicans and these Democrats to the governor before January 1st?
I would love to see that. I would love to work with anyone, any Democrat, you know, across the aisle on this issue, because I think that's the only way it's going to get. That's the only way it's going to get done. Common sense has to prevail here. The problem is that I'm not sure the, quote, moderate Democrats have the majority in their own caucus. And that is concerning. And I'm not sure that even, you know, with Republican support, the moderate Democrats have enough to outnumber, like, the far left. And again, this is important. I want to give those moderate Democrats credit here because they are taking a political risk from the left of their own party. So that's why I want to really, in all seriousness, I want to, commend them and, you know, congratulate them on, you know, sending this type of letter because it is a political risk. But again, that goes back to, that is an indictment of where the Democrat Party is, that taking a position on an issue, such a common sense position on an issue, that affects every single person in the state. The fact that that takes political courage, which it does, is an indictment on the Democratic Party in New York State.
Now, Paul, we've talked about this January 1st deadline, and, you know, this really is kind of the kickoff and gets the ball rolling on a list of mandates that would start going into effect for the following decade, correct?
Yeah, it goes all the way up to 2040 is when, you know, theoretically, the timeline would that's when they see all this being fully implemented. And as the director of NYSERDA said, an electric economy. That is when they're hoping that everything, even existing, is already all electric. So I think that is an unrealistic timeline. I think that is you're living in fantasy land if you think that's actually going to be implemented. And you know, some of the benchmarks that are happening in 2040, 2030, while they're only 5 years away, well, at one point, January 1st, 2025 was 5 years away, and no one seemed to worry about it then. So, and here we are panicking about it now. So, you know, even though the 2030, 2035, and 2040 seems like a far ways away, we need to start addressing those today and getting on the front lines of those today, because it's going to get here faster than you think it is.
You know, Paul, last time you were on, afterwards I took calls, and someone called in talking about in the 70s, they moved into an all-electric home, and, you know, as soon as they could make renovations to it, they did to add natural gas and you know, all the stuff that we're talking about now. I mean, I just wonder how, like, I'm hearing all this stuff just by bringing it up for 20 minutes on a show. I can't imagine, like, these examples of the last five decades of failures hasn't made it to the governor's desk, or, I mean, do you think she's just simply ignoring it?
I frankly, I hope to God that someone's bringing it to her desk, because I'm not sure that anyone on the second floor of the Capitol is aware of how absolutely devastating this is going to be. And, like, there's politics at play here. I mean, this is an issue of the left. You heard it when Speaker Hastie was out here in West New York. When Ron Plants asked him, you know, about the logistics of all of this, his response was, "Well, do you have kids? Are you worried about the environment for your kids?" It's like the automatic default is, "Well, they hate the environment." It's like, what the hell are you talking about? That is not what we're saying. Not the point of any of this. The point is, you're talking about how people energize their homes and their lives, and frankly, energize our economy. And you're fundamentally, generationally shifting the way that we do that in a matter of years. And that is the crux of the issue. It's nothing to do with the environment. And furthermore, New York State only contributes like 0.04% to the world's, you know, global carbon emissions. So again, you're literally taking a wrecking ball to New York State's economy for a negligible impact on the global carbon emissions, which, by the way, the majority of that is from New York City, not up here in Western New York. So, again, that is what makes this very frustrating. So to answer your question, I'm not sure if they really have a handle on this. I'm not sure if they really understand how this is going to impact them, because clearly they don't understand that their policies are increasing ratepayers' rates all across the state.
Paul, you know, while this is all going on, the governor has said little to nothing about this. Instead, she is out, you know, backing Letitia James and doing big rallies for the attorney general. I got to get your thoughts. I know we're talking about electrification, but I got to get your thoughts on the governor and New York State Democrats, you know, just picking a side and not only siding with Letitia James, but using, I believe, the slush fund to fund her trial.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's amazing. If only you know, more media outlet. I know you guys did. You guys did multiple shows on it. But, you know, when we were sitting there in the budget, I could have told you that this was going to happen. The arguments that we made on the floor of the assembly was that you know, basically it was a public officials' slush fund for this exact situation, that we knew it was coming, we knew it was going to happen, and, you know, the Democrats still snuck it into the budget. But, you know, to talk about the governor and where she is, I think a really good example of this is, I'm not sure if you watched the New York City mayoral debates at all. Zohran Mamdani and Governor Cuomo and Curtis Sliwa were there, and they asked a question about, would any of you support Governor Kathy Hochul or endorse Governor Kathy Hochul for a second term? And none of them did. And I think that goes to show you right there the predicament that the governor is, where she is losing the far left of her own party. She's losing the base of her own party. And I think that she is not going to move on this issue because the far left and the base of her party wants this universal all electrification, and they do not want her to pause it. They do not want her to kick the can down the road. So that's where her predicament is. She has to placate to the Mamdanis of the world, and that is the concern about the far left of this party.
You know, that was one of my questions about these the moderate Democrats who are letting their voice be heard. I mean, we're not seeing any support from downstate for a delay on this, correct? I mean, this is mostly upstate, central, western New York, southern tier Democrats. We're not seeing New York City Democrats say they want this delayed, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, I mean, from the people that I've spoken to, the Democrats that I have great relationships with in Albany, they're all, you know, north of Westchester, north and west of Westchester County. So very few city Democrats, you know, and city members in general are supportive of any type of pause or any type of delay, because this is not as, I don't want to use the term unrealistic, but this isn't as life-altering in New York City as it is here. You know, electric buses in New York City might make more sense than they do here, because you're, you know, for a school district there, you're maybe four or five city blocks where, you know, maybe it's 10 miles between, you know, kids' houses up in, you know, Newfane, a district that I represent. So, you know, it's just a different way of life. But yeah, I mean, this is an upstate downstate issue, and that is a massive problem. And I wish that we would be able to carve, I actually have a bill that would exempt Western New York, at least, from the entirety of this legislation, which makes total sense to me.
You know, I think that's something that when people first hear this, Paul, they don't understand. Number one, and Tim Wenger said this several times this morning, this really shouldn't be a left versus right issue. I mean, if you live in the elements in Western New York, if you remember the blizzard of 22, this shouldn't be, oh, I'm going to go with my political side. This should be reality. And I think what people don't understand is it is a different reality when you're in New York City than when you're in Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, well, I mean, 100%. And one of the things that people talk about is that blizzard. And I want to kind of explain maybe a little in a little bit of a different perspective how this might impact, you know, people. So gas generators, theoretically, under the All Electric Building Act, is still allowed. So you're still allowed to have a gas generator. But what no one's talking about is that they're making it, them being the New York State, is now making it impossible for you to get a gas line from, you know, the street to your house. They're making it cost prohibitive to do so. So even though you can have a gas generator, it does you no good because you're not going to be able to get gas to it. So that's the problem. So then we go back to that blizzard. Well, let's say you have an electrical outage. Well, what happens if someone, you know, you have a sick child that's on a dialysis machine, or having a breathing apparatus that requires electricity? Well, now the electricity goes out. You don't have a backup generator. What do you do in a storm or an emergency situation? So that's, you know, they can say that, oh, well, we're saving you in emergencies because you have gas generators. Well, if you can't power the gas generator because no gas is getting to it, what good is it? And that, you know, another quickly, Phil Nanula, who from Essex Homes, made this point too. He said that we can build you, and this goes with the capacity, this goes with the electrification issue. We can build you an all-electric home tomorrow. We can build all this stuff literally in a, you know, we have the technology now. The problem is New York State does not have the electrical capacity as to where if you plug something into an outlet, we can't guarantee that it's going to turn on. And that is the problem with this whole thing.
Yeah, again, if you remember the blizzard of 22, I don't know how you can't be outraged about not what's being proposed, what is, and you said it perfectly, 69 days away. I mean, it's two digits away from being implemented and what that could mean down the road. Paul, while I have you here, I've got one last question, not about electrification, about the county executive here in Erie County. Yesterday, he said, if you're not outraged by the construction in the east wing of the Wright House, you are in a cult and need help. What's your response to him?
Stick to fixing the county, or at least do something more than that. I mean, you got to be kidding me, man. And not to make light of it, but, you know, most people, when they have diagnosis for Bell's palsy, they'll call a doctor. This dude calls for a podium. I mean, I just clinging to relevancy. So, I don't know. I don't really have much of a response to that. I don't respond to nonsense.
Paul, I appreciate your time as always. I know we'll be talking about this several more times before January 1st. I always appreciate your availability, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Thank you very much, Joe. Good talking to you, brother.
That is Assemblyman Paul Bologna.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.